You are a slut pig.
What's up, everybody? I'm Christian Gray Snow, and this is the Slut Pig Podcast, a podcast from the dip. Today, honey, we are talking about everything from the 90210 to Potomac to Sing Sing to Hot Boxes to Tom Girardi flying off a cliff. And we're just going to get started right now. But first, we're going to be starting with our girl, our newbie, the 90210 Crystal Kung Minkoff. And honestly, y'all, I'm so excited. So we're just going to jump right in. Small talks like small dicks. And y'all know I hate a small dick. Let's get started right now. All right, everybody. My guest today is the newbie amongst our 90210 gals who, in just 10 episodes, has become known for her spicy margaritas and is now the face of leather pants everywhere. Her husband may have directed Lion King, but she nearly directed Sutton off a cliff in Rena's backyard. Everyone, please welcome to the Slut Pig Podcast, Crystal Kung Minkoff.
Hi, that Crystal. Is an opening. I don't think anyone's ever introduced me that way. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. So first of all, of course, thank you for being with me today. We're going to jump right in. Before we get into housewife stuff, I would love to talk about Rob. I'm not sure if you've seen me post about this, but I actually have a major crush on Rob.
I do.
Like the other day I did like an Ask Me Anything and someone was like, okay, favorite house husbands. And I did like my top like six of all time. And Rob was in there. Okay. Just so you know this.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Well, whenever someone asks me like, what kind of guys do you like? I always say I want like a nice guy. Like I just want like a nice man. Rob really strikes me as like such a nice guy. So I know you met when you were young. So I would tell us more about how you met.
It's so funny because I'm going to start with there's another Crystal Kung that had a profile on Google before I started the show. So I think she's like she's actually an animator. She's an artist. So our profiles got blended. So this whole thing came out about my birthday being in June and I'm younger than I am, and it's like I've tried so hard to change it. So people are like, you're lying about when you met him. Like, no, it's just my birthday is wrong. Because trying to put the dates together. And then I was like, whatever. There's only so much you could do. I mean, you know, sometimes Google's wrong. So no, I met Rob. I went to UC Irvine. I grew up here in LA and UC Irvine is local, Orange County. I was a pre-med student. I was a bio and history major. And my sophomore year, I actually came up back home to throw my mom like a surprise birthday lunch for her friends. And I was exhausted. My friends invited me to go out that night. And my mom's like, go, you did so much. Just go and have fun. And then it was actually at Rob's offices. So he was throwing a birthday party for a friend. So this was May 10th, 2003. So we consider that actually our anniversary when we met because we remember it so distinctly. And he was directing Haunted Mansion. But it was like a birthday party and I met him that night and then he called me the next day and invited me to the Finding Nemo premiere the following weekend.
Casual.
Yeah. I was like, but I never, you know, even if you grew up in LA, like I had friends who were celebrity actors while I was in school, but you're a kid. Like if you're not in it, you're not in it. You know, you just know what happens. They just don't go to school for a week or something. But I was like, oh my God, it's a premiere. You know, it was a big deal. So, but he is like from day one, and you know, people only get to see like a tiny glimpse of him. He is exactly who you think he is. He is just the nicest, most humble, generous, like just, I watch the pressure he feels about like taking care of the kids, they're actually camping right now, him and the kids. They went to Oregon for five nights in a tent. Like that's the kind of dad he is.
Yeah,
he's just the most humble person and obviously super talented, which impressed me as well. But yeah, it's just his humility and his commitment to my family. Like my family is really important to me. And I was like, we go to Monterey Park every Sunday. I don't care what you're doing, you show up. And he did. And he has ever since. So.
Wow. So there was just, I was going to ask, what about Rob, like made you fall in love with him? But it sounds like there was just a whole list of reasons, right?
Yeah, like you said, like you want a nice person. Look, I was also really young. I was 20 and I was super easygoing about finding someone because I wasn't looking for anybody, you know? So we sort of let the relationship naturally happen. We dated for about 3.5 years before we got engaged.
Oh, wow.
And it was like 5 years after till we got married. So we spent a lot of time together. But for me, it was, if my family doesn't get you, then you maybe not get, you don't get me.
I love that. That's a little gem of wisdom right there, everybody. Yeah. Remember that. Yes. What was it like? Because like you said, you had friends who were, you know, like celebrity kids, things like that. What was it like for you transitioning from that non-celebrity life to, you know, now the wife of this man who's, I mean, known for films that are fucking iconic. I'm sorry. What was that like?
So we never considered, I mean, I still don't consider us like celebrities. I think being on TV now is maybe shifting that. But Rob, you know, Rob's business is very behind the scenes. Like he's not a public person. So his films are public, but he's not. So, you know, you just do your movie and then you go away and you're home with our kids and playing baseball. Like it's not, and actually that's still how our life is now. But it was just really fun. And like going to premieres, going to parties, seeing celebrities. But Rob is like the most unaffected person. And because I grew up with it, it was, you know, I mean, probably the only time I have been super starstruck was the Spice Girls.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I am still a fan. And then I became like good friends with Mel B. And I remember telling her after a couple years of like knowing them, that she was with someone at the time. I was like, I have to tell you every time I'm with you, I'm like a fangirl, even though pretending like I don't know who you are. And I'll never forget, we had dinner and she invited Jerry. And it was before they went on their tour, their comeback tour. And I was like, just kind of being cool, like, oh, I don't know who you are. And she's like, I'm so sorry. We just have to get through this playlist for our tour. I know you don't know what you're talking about. But like, I'm like, it's okay. Like, no big deal. Okay, whatever. And they're naming songs. And I just blurt out like, no, you have to start. You know, like I was like, what? I could not. I lost my mind.
Like, I love that so much. So given that, you know, Rob is so well-known and respected in his industry, I'm sure, you know, there is some, like, weird stigma around, like, reality television.
Yeah.
Were there concerns about that? Were there conversations about that between you and Rob prior to you joining Beverly Hills? What was that like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the process was 6 months.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Like, it's just not, you know, because his career is primary. And I have my own career, but like, which no one knows that because they don't talk about it on the show, but that mine would be likely unaffected or positive. I just was like, we spent so much time with his agents. I mean, Rob's been doing forever. And I said, if there is an ounce that it might affect him negatively, it's a hard pass for me. It was already like on the verge of pass for me. But we talked, you know, Rob is who he is. And, you know, we know our family. But of course, we've never been in reality. We don't really understand it. And I learned about it while I was filming. I called Rob like in Tahoe, like, this is happening. And he was like, let me call someone because this is not how it works in our world. And I literally was like learning as I went. Yeah. But I will say, and I say this to my friends now, they're like, how is it with you and Rob? It's like, if you guys are solid, it affects your family zero. Wow. Like it's literally a show and then you come home and you're just, it's your life. So if it does affect your family, my gut is that there was real, maybe people want it to affect it. I don't know, but it doesn't affect our family in any way, thank God, or else I would not do it. But no, I think he's just proud of me and he's like, oh, that's, you know, and then he's like, oh, I look nice on TV. I'm like, yeah, well you do.
I love it. So you said it was 6 months. How did the whole process get started? Do you remember like the first time someone reached out to you and you were you like, leave me alone? Like, what was it?
Teddy texted me.
Okay.
And I know Teddy because like one of my best friends is her best friend.
Okay.
Because we're the same, our kids are the same age. And she was like, are you interested? I said, nope. Hard pass for me. And she was like, come on, just, you know, and it COVID had just started. Like we just went into lockdown. And it was like, oh, well, you know, you know, she's like, you're just bored, just take a call. And it sort of just kept going like that. And then Kathy called me and it was like, they wanted me to do it forever. And then you're on this, like, will you do it? And I was like, oh my God. And I still
can't say no to Kathy.
I know. I mean, and my I was God. Like, I said, I'm like, literally like, I'm like, Rob, Kathy's on the call. She wants me to, he's like, well, you can't say no to Kathy.
I love it.
Kathy Hilton's calling you. You're like, okay. Yeah. And she's like, you're my little girl. Like, don't worry about it. I was like, okay. I'm like, famous last words, you know, don't worry.
Don't worry.
But yeah, you know, having her there has been heaven. And obviously when Teddy wasn't there, that was also, you know, hard. But having Kathy there has been really a blessing for me. And, you know, I've grown, I never, if you asked me a year, never. Like a year and a half ago, never would I be on this side of it. Yeah.
Did you think when you joined that Teddy would still be on, or had it already been announced that she was departing?
Oh, no. I thought she was going to be on. When they called me, it was like very similar time.
Yeah.
But my God, talk about such a sweetheart. She just gave me the biggest hug and was like,
I don't know why Teddy gets such a bad rap from people. I was going to ask, why do you think that, like, some of the viewers of Beverly Hills, you know, are just so, like, hateful towards her? And I really don't understand why. I mean, I feel like as a housewife, sure, is she not the most, like, crazy, dramatic one that we've seen over the years? But in my opinion, she got the job done, you know?
Yeah.
So I really never understood why people had such an issue with her. How much of Beverly Hills did you watch prior to signing on or prior to starting filming?
I used to watch it. I was a fan of the show. I mean, now that I'm on this side, I see the sort of extreme fandom. I think I was sort of the more general audience of like, it's on, I walk away, you know? And then knowing Teddy was on it, you know, it's like, but again, if you've seen people on TV, you can actually disconnect from that. You're not like, oh my God, my friend's on it. You're like, okay, she's in it. I don't know why she got it. I also think, though, that what looks like on TV, the friend dynamics are not like congruent with like how your dynamic is in your friend group, you know, because it's not like this group is, everyone has their friend. You know, when you go on Instagram, you see everyone has their friend group. It's like, you're not in this sort of tumultuous thing. So they bring in very different characters that might not necessarily mesh well in like off the cast. Not in real life. This is real life. But like, so I think that maybe the audience, like her in the group, I don't know, but I thought she was great. And Teddy is such a good person. So I don't understand. I don't get it, but
yeah, me either. I mean, it's honestly like, it sucks that she's not around, but like good for her that she doesn't even have to deal with like the BS anymore. You know, who did you, when watching the show, who were some of the housewives you liked in previous years?
I was always like Erica. I was always drawn to, because Erica's someone I think that is so like elusive. So you sort of fan her versus like someone that's like, oh, I could hang out with her. Like Kyle's the ultimate, like, you know, sorority sister.
And I love that.
Right? Yeah, and you feel that way. You're like, I'm going to hang out with her. I want to go to like a football game with her and go to the movies with her. Where Erica was like felt like a starlet. But that's what's interesting. It's like when you hang out with your friends, you don't have those like, I mean, maybe some people do, but I don't have a friend who's like a starlet. And then someone who's if you're a sorority girl, you're going to hang out with sorority girls. So that's why they're almost like, everyone's like, you know, has these different kind of roles. But yeah, Erica was always really fascinating to me as a person. And I always thought Dorit was super, like, loved all her fashion. Because I'm not a fashion girl. So I admire people who like, love that and lean into
that. Okay, you say you aren't a fashion girl, but you had that bag.
Okay, I like things that appreciate in value, but I'm not a fashion. Look, I'm wearing an Old Navy t-shirt. Like, I don't.
So you're like on the day to day, it's not like head to toe brand, but like you got some valuable pieces.
You can see me right. No, I'm not at all. Like the fact that I put on blush to film is like a big deal to me. And all my friends know that I'm super low key. And, you know, it's like, especially in LA, you know, it's like, it's very casual. So it's like jeans, t-shirt, whatever. And this was just like an elevated version of it. But yeah, it was like very stressful. I would say that was almost the most stressful part of it every week was, what are people going to wear? And then you walk in, you're like, oh my God, these girls just go balls out. And then I just remember having, like, I'm a pretty confident person. I'm like, this is how I dress. If you don't like it, it's fine. But, you know, there is a kind of pressure about that. But yeah.
Do you remember the first scene that you filmed and like what was going through your head? Were you like, God, this is completely different than what I expected or what?
So my very first scene was when Kyle and Lisa came over. And that was actually okay because it was my house. They came over, they brought presents. And, you know, I've met Kyle in the past. Obviously, I know other Kathy too. But we have a lot of mutual friends. And Lisa, we have a lot of mutual friends. And I had run into Lisa a week prior.
Oh, wow.
At the Glen. I was having breakfast and she like She's like shaking. She's like, you're the new girl. I was like, yeah. So I actually just saw her that week, but it was very brief. But the most significant moment I'll never forget was Dorit's house, because I met everyone there, and everyone, it was like fuchsias and like rainbow colors. And I'm like,
Lisa and the palm print.
Yeah, yes. It was so much. And then it was like, everything was brightly lit because all the cameras. And I was like, I was so overwhelmed. And I was just hi. Like, I didn't know what to say. And they're like, you can talk. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. And I remember coming home to Rob. I was like, it was like being on a set and seeing the people on TV. But like, now I'm on the other side. It was so bizarre.
I love it. Okay, so jumping forward to this week's episode, you ladies arrive at Kyle's house in La Quinta, which is fucking stunning, by the way. Stunning. I love her house. And after Kyle made some lasagna and Kathy swept the floor with a grill cleaning brush, Erica started to reveal some things about her relationship with Tom when you ladies sat down for dinner. And look, anyone listening to this knows that I'm riding with Erica as long as I can. Like, I literally did a bonus episode last week solely breaking down the scene between her and Kyle where she was crying, talking about why I thought it was believable. And I'm not saying that I don't believe her now, because I do. But I think it's safe to say that she spilled so many details that our cups, like, runneth over. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot. So what were your thoughts at first when she started talking about the wreck? Were you confused or were you with her?
I think the difference with me and maybe Kathy too is I had never met her up until I think that was maybe the fourth week of shooting. Okay. So it was all like, I was really in the, like, I was in my kind of my own world a little bit. I think I like to consider myself a really smart person. I like things that are logical. I like things that make sense. But in that moment, I just sort of sat and listened and I just saw how upset she was. As opposed to judging, I was like, okay, like, I don't really know. I don't have any background, because the girls were confused because they had heard the story originally. So I had nothing to compare to. I wasn't like, that has discrepancies, because I wasn't there last year. So when you hear the story alone, it's actually, it's its own story and it, but they were all comparing it, okay. You know, so they looked more confused. I was like, just listening, because, and then also I felt bad because in truth, like, yes, we're all a group, and I'm new to the group, and it's clearly the darkest time in her life. And then I sort of just felt bad being there. Like, does she want to share this with someone who's new in the room? So I just try to give her warmth and comfort and share, like, when she talked about Tom having possible dementia, I understand that experience. My dad had it for 9 years. It was the darkest time of my life. So I just really connect on that level with her to share that, yes, like, stories can sound like, I understand that part. My dad didn't pay the mortgage for 2 years. We didn't know, because he was seemingly okay. And, you know, we had to come in and sort of say, because my mom was like, my mom is the best. She was like, my dad took care of her forever. So these things do happen even in the most buttoned up type of families. So with knowing my experience, that's sort of how I approached listening to her and experiencing it with her.
Wow, I really appreciate that. That's very interesting. Well, for me, the only reason, and this is just for me, the only thing that got confusing, and I will tell you what I think maybe it was when she talked about how she found him after the accident. And but then later said that he called her after like 12 hours. When I was watching this, I was either, it's one of two things. Either her story is just a little all over the place, or she had so many details that editing is trying to add in all kinds of stuff that it kind of just felt jumbled. And I don't know if maybe that was a different story she was talking about or what. Is there any clarity you can provide to us? Will we see more of an answer to that? It just felt like it was a little jumbled.
Sure. I can say that watching back, a lot gets cut out.
Okay.
That makes things make more sense.
Perfect.
Not just for her, but like, where did that go? Like, that would resolve things for me, but that's okay. So you're like, okay, so you just have to let go of that. We really shoot like a lot of content. And so maybe an hour of that story got down to about 4 minutes.
Yep. About 5-6 minutes.
Yeah. So really there's a lot, and I understand they have to make it make sense enough because there's so much content. But this story is obviously, like, you know, the show picks certain moments. So the story will continue throughout. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there'll be more information going out. But again, like, was it like a wild story? Yeah. But I think I was just sitting there like, wow, what a story. I wasn't there yet. I wasn't like, maybe the other girls were, because they had heard a different story a year ago or a couple, whenever it was, 3 years ago. But it wasn't for me because I never had a story.
Are you able to say in the future, do women question her about that particular the wreck story, or is there just more that like overtakes it that kind of gets brushed under the rug?
It's sort of indicative of all. There's a lot of questions all the time. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Where do you stand with Erica now? Are y'all cool? Are y'all talking?
Yeah. I mean, like, I check in with her and to see how she's doing. Again, like, this is playing out in real life. And I think that was the interesting part of watching sort of the audience being like, why are you guys not? And like, you know what's up to today. This was 8 months ago. So, like, we would get an article and then they would, you know, they want us to read the article. We're like, okay, so we're experiencing it unfold in real time. And even today, nothing has been nothing's resolved. So
nothing,
you know, I'm just waiting. Like, I reserve judgment. All I know is that the day I met Erica at Dorit's house, she couldn't have been more lovely to me, more. Cause I was like, she was like the one, like you asked me, she was the one I was more like, wow, this girl's like, she's Erica. I didn't think I'd ever get close to her. And she was like, I went here, like helping me with my clothes and like, da, da, da. And she's just like making sure I looked like, because I've never been on camera before, obviously. And she was like, no, sit like this and like trying to make me look good. And I was like, I so appreciate that. Like,
that's so sweet.
Yeah,
I love
really
that.
Nice. So I held on to that. And yeah.
Are you able to say anything about your current stance with Sutton?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think what's interesting, last episode, they sort of wrapped it up like in a bow. Like, that was wild. And then I felt like, as Rob said, you know, like, we're all cheersing at the end, like laughing. And Rob's like, he wanted like Looney Tunes, like come out, duh, 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 the end, like this sort of wraps up. And yeah, so we're cool.
I love it. Also, so your first reunion will be coming up probably in like the next month or so, if I had to guess. Are you nervous? Are you thinking about it? Are you just going to balls to the wall, go in? What's your process?
It's funny. I'm not nervous at all, actually, but maybe as I get closer, I mean, I think people see that if I feel, you know, strongly about something, I'm clear about it. I won't like yell at it. There's nothing, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like I was really clear about how you know, I do have different feelings about it now, not fully, but you know, I'm going to express that and, you know, my heart's open and, you know, but no, I'm not nervous about it. Maybe I should be. I don't know.
No, don't be. You're going to be fine.
I'm a newbie. And I just, you know, when you're brand new, you don't know how any of this works. You can watch it as much as you want to and think that you're studying it. And like, none of that is actually relevant. So I just have to be honest. And that's the one thing. I am just honest the whole time.
Love it. All right, well, before we wrap up with everything, we're going to do, as we always do, our Housewives Rapid Fire Question Game.
Okay.
We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. We're going to get through as many of these mostly shady but somewhat sweet questions as we possibly can. And the time is going to start when I finish the first question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. You said you'd notice if Drake was following you the way he does Rena. If you could have any celeb follow you, who would it be?
Rihanna.
Yes. Is your $95,000 bag your most expensive bag?
Yes.
Okay, what's your second most expensive bag?
Not far, yeah, similar.
Aha! If you were able to plan the next cast trip anywhere, where are you going?
Tokyo.
Love it. Last person from the cast to text you.
Garcelle.
Oh, what is Sutton most jealous of?
Pass.
If you had to drop any cast member before next season, who would it be?
Pass!
Who is the most different on camera versus off camera?
No one. Everyone is who they are. Yeah.
You had the ladies over for cooking and dinner. Whose house would you least like to attend for dinner?
Oh my God. Shut up. Move on.
Favorite Britney Spears song?
Oh my God. Toxic?
Oh yes. I love it. If you could bring back any former Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, who would it be?
I think Eileen.
Eileen? Oh my God. Taste. Absolutely. We got through all the questions.
Yes!
And we ended on a good note. Because I fucking love Eileen. Okay. I love Eileen. Okay, Crystal. And before we go, in honor of the namesake of my podcast, could I please get your best version of Kim Richards' iconic insult to Brandi Glanville? You are a slut pig.
You are a slut pig.
Brilliant, brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me, Crystal, and we will see you next week on next week's episode. All right, first off, how cool is Crystal? Fucking love her. But I did want to talk to you guys a bit about the conversation that Erica had, you know, involving Tom's alleged wreck behind their house, because I know everybody had a lot of thoughts. So y'all know I wanted to get to the bottom of it. So I went to fucking Google Earth, 3D, Google Maps, all of it. And I replayed Erica's description multiple times while navigating the road behind their house that she was talking about, okay? And if it wasn't 45 minutes away, I would drive there and do a video description for y'all. But, you know, that's far. In LA traffic, that's far. Maybe this weekend, I'll think about it. It could be a good bonus episode or something. But here were my findings, okay? The road behind her house does exist. Obviously, I don't think it's creepy to check for her address because it is everywhere. I mean, hello, the house is in the middle of a federal investigation. So the road does seem to exist. But after careful examination, I also can see what she meant by saying when she said, this fucker went behind the house, because the little road behind their house actually kind of somewhat connects to their driveway. All right. However, what I am confused about is she said he tumbled out of the car and was there for 12 hours. Now, here I am on the road where she said he tumbled. The name of the road is called Fern Drive, if I understand correctly. And there's grass there. There's places he could have tumbled. But where the fuck did the car go? Because there's houses around. And all these areas of grass, from the bird's eye view in which I am looking, appear to be someone's yard. So either his car or his body would have ended up in someone's yard. And for 12 hours, I imagine someone would have found him. Or at least his car, right? I don't know. And then again, she's very detailed about this story for it to not be true. So, like, I'm torn. I'm stressed. I'm actually really stressed. The only other thing that was confusing about this was that she said she found him, but then she jumped into saying that he called her 12 hours later, and so then she asked him where he'd been. So did you find him at the bottom of a ditch? Or did he call you from the ditch? Which one was it? And that's why I asked Crystal, you know, if you just listened, like, was this another conversation that maybe it was a little bit of an editing mistake where she was talking about how he called her and she assumed he was with another woman? Perhaps that was another story that got edited in because there was a lot going on. Crystal kind of made me believe that, yes, that could have been a possibility, but it seems to be that a lot of people seem to have more questions about this wreck. So perhaps we are right to be confused, because it seemed like some of the women who were there experiencing this story in person were also confused. Listen, this, you know what this makes me want to do? This makes me never want to drive again. This actually makes me want to drive my car off a cliff because I'm so fucking confused. So that's all I have for Beverly Hills this week. Now we're going to move on to Potomac. All right, Potomac. We left last week on a to-be-continued, shocker, after Karen accused Giselle of having a hot box and saying that they went to Sing Sing. Okay, this week we learned Karen doesn't really have an explanation for what Sing Sing is. In fact, I think her not knowing what Sing Sing is actually fucking hilarious.
I had to look up Sing Sing and now I know it's a jail in New York. The Sing Sing thing was a stretch. I just thought it went well with hot box. Oh, didn't it sound good?
Yeah,
it was the timing was like, okay, we're so dark. I said, let me throw Sing Sing in there. Because I have a sense of humor.
Sing Sing is actually a maximum security prison in New York City. But it seems people on Twitter think Karen got it confused with some sort of like mental rehabilitation facility. And she was trying to insinuate that Giselle had to be admitted at some point. Is that fucked up? Yes. Am I going to laugh at it all damn day? Abso-fucking-lutely. We also see that Mia says she thinks Giselle has a good heart, and I'm just over here like,
who said that?
Who said that?
Who
Yes, you heard that correctly. Mia said she thinks Giselle Bryant has a good heart.
The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Look, I appreciate Mia keeping an open mind because, look, Karen is her friend, but she is entering a new group of women where it'll be easiest if she can get along with as many of them as possible, you know? So I understand her wanting to, like, establish her own opinions of each of the women. In fact, I respect that. However, I do agree that with kind of with what Wendy said, that, like, I probably wouldn't have voiced that because it does kind of look like you aren't backing up your girl, Karen, who just brought you in. But speaking of Mia, she revealed in this episode that her and her husband met at a strip club where she was not a stripper, but a bartender. And the ladies do not want to believe that for some reason, like at all.
Girl, you were a stripper. That is the only thing that can explain having a clitoral reconstructive surgery. Strippers have to make it clap on the stage.
I see Mia, you know, do a little wiggle, and I'm not sure that Mia was just a bartender at the strip club. I'm not sure.
Girl, if you was a bartender, I'm a white man.
Honestly, look. It's easy to make the joke. It's low-hanging fruit. Like, of course you're a bartender, not a stripper, Mia. Sure. Mia literally talked about having her clit fixed in the first episode. We're far past the fact, like, if you tell me that you shook it on a pole to pay your bills, I ain't gonna think twice about it. In fact, I ain't gonna think twice about it, even if you ain't talked about having your clit fixed. Who gives a fuck if somebody strips? What is the continued negative, like, stigma towards strippers? People gotta do what they gotta do. And don't be mad if somebody shaking their tits for 40 hours a week makes more than you do in 3 months, okay? Anyway, I like Mia. I'm excited to get to see more of her. I think she's really gonna be a great addition. I do. Giselle's West Wing. Honey, I hope that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not watching Housewives of Potomac because if they see this woman slapping the name the West Wing on her house, they're going to have to add to their long list of things to do and go rename the White House's West Wing to avoid any association, okay? The inside of Giselle's West Wing does look great, but the outside is a fucking joke. Even Robin, like her bestie Robin says it. If Robin says it about Giselle, you know it's true. It's like literally this flat ass house and then this just add-on with like two stories on the end. I'm like, how are you going to resell that? Is that even up to code? I'm just curious. Also, why is Wendy doing a candle line? And y'all know, I love Housewives products more than anybody. I literally just, like yesterday, spent $60 on Jill Zarin's website buying masks and candles for shits and giggles. Just because I wanted to. Okay? And I'll probably buy Wendy's candles. However, something. I don't know. Just doesn't feel like genuine to me. It feels just like it's kind of like, oh, let's do like a Housewives business venture, you know, storyline, da 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 da. I'm worrying that maybe Wendy is like kind of doing the most for a second seasoner. I'm not sure. You know, she had the body transformation. She's seemingly was kind of against Mia from the get-go for like no reason. Now she's starting a candle line. Look, make no mistake. I love Wendy and I'm glad she's around. I fucking loved her first season. But I also love that she's a professor and like she's this new, like we've never had a housewife that is like that. And that is a professor and a legal commentator. Like that is a profession that we haven't seen across this franchise yet. And I think it's cool to have that interesting angle. And so I don't really think we need that traditional, like, oh, let me do this silly side business and not talk about it ever again next season. Like we don't need that from Wendy. You know, she's fantastic as is. But this, if this really is a passion of hers, go for it, and I can't wait to buy one. Moving up north to Housewives of New York City. I finally made sure to watch Roni this week. I was looking around, you know, just trying to get the general consensus of how people were feeling about it, people I follow, and it seems a lot of people didn't enjoy it, but I kind of did. I'm thinking that's perhaps maybe because I haven't seen the ladies for 2 weeks because I told y'all I missed the last two episodes. So I enjoyed it a little bit, but we're in Salem, Massachusetts with our Roni women. And one of the things people seem to be upset about is the editing out of the fight between Sonia and Brashan. When the trailer was originally released, you know, it made it seem like this fight in Salem between Sonia and Brashan was going to be like a major season event. But then this week, we basically only saw it play out through the eyes of Leah, who was recapping it for Luann over the phone. So we didn't even get to see it happen. We got to see them talk about it and like little glimpses of it. And I agree with the people that are annoyed by that. I think it's bullshit. I think it's annoying. And I read somewhere that on Instagram that someone said they feel like editors are the ones sabotaging this season because we don't really have those little like gems, you know, of just funny Roni moments that make Roni what it is. And so that got me thinking, you know, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but right when COVID started in April of 2020, Roni lost one of their editors and his name was Peter Gamba. Peter had been with Roni since the launch of the franchise, y'all, so 12 years. And like, a lot of people don't understand, you know, the magic that really comes in editing. You know, it requires an impeccable sense of timing, but you have to really know these women and know the subjects that you're editing around. And you also doing that through the lens of the audience and what you know they want to see. And I think it's clear that throughout all these years that Peter had mastered that art. And, you know, after reading these comments, I think it could be his absence is that one thing that's missing from Roni that a lot of us just can't seem to put our finger on. So, you know, that's really, really sad. Rest in peace, Peter. And it makes me sad to think that, you know, one of the editors who really just got the wonderful humor of these women isn't there to help get that story out anymore. But what else is sad is Lou saying she got arrested for a lot less than Sonia when telling Sonia that she overreacted by punching the glass out of the fire extinguisher in the hotel. Luann, you literally assaulted a fucking police officer, girl. And if my memory serves me correctly, you might have told him you were going to kill him. I'm just going to say this. The only similarity between Sonia's situation and yours is that they both started in a hotel and it ends there. Okay, moving on. The seance. After all these years, we finally peeled back a layer of Sonia that we didn't know about. It was heartbreaking. Sonia revealed that when she was just a little girl, her father abandoned her. At this reading, the medium informed Sonia that her dad wants to apologize for leaving her when her dad comes through. And I think this really shows why Sonia has struggled to remove herself from her divorce for so many years. You know, she said, like, I fear abandonment because what my dad did to me. And then that's probably what she was scared of her whole life. And then she finally gets married and she gets fucking abandoned. Her biggest fucking fear. So I just feel so bad for our sweet Sonia. She deserves so much love. And the moral of the story here is fuck John Adams Morgan. Fuck J.P. Morgan. And fuck the Morgan letters. Bershan. I really do wish that they would have incorporated Bershan more in. I find her to be interesting. I love she's a cancer survivor. She's not scared of any of these women. I like that her and Ramona are friends right now because let's face it, Ramona's not friends with anybody for long before she pisses them off and has an argument. So I want to like see them navigate that friendship and see what the future looks like. But also she just feels like more of a natural fit than Leah ever has to me. And like, I want to also see her outside of the group. I want to see her doing things on her own. I don't necessarily only want to see her with the women. I feel like she is a really strong addition and they aren't leaning into that enough. And it makes me come on. Justice for Bershan. All right. I mean, honey, I gave y'all an interview. We talked Beverly Hills. We talked Roni. We talked Potomac. We talked Tom Girardi rolling down the side of a Pasadena hill. I am exhausted. So until next week. You guys hang in there. I will see you next week when we will cover all the other Housewives happenings that happen between now and then. Y'all have a wonderful weekend. I love you as always. And you know where to find me. Be safe. Be sure to check out the brand new podcast from The Dip, Shortcomings, a Sex in the City podcast featuring Samantha Bush and Chris Lewis. I can't wait. And check out the trailer for But Now We Said It, an Ultimate Real Housewives deep dive podcast hosted by my girl, Steep, the creator of Faces by Bravo. And don't forget to visit thedip.com, where you can get commentary and analysis from writers, editors, and fans who are just as passionate about pop culture as you are. That's thedip2ps.com. And follow them on Instagram at thedip. You can also follow me at Christian Gray Snow, where we can keep in touch until next time. And go get you some good old Slut Pig merch at theslutpigshop.com. Don't be like Lisa Vanderpump and go running away. Be sure to come back next week.